Father, we thank you this morning for your word and your truth. May we be a blessed balance of grace and truth. May our mercy and compassion for a hurting, broken nation, may it be coupled with a healthy fear of God and a love for holiness, acknowledging the beauty that you acknowledge in holiness, the beauty of holiness. So we love you, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Let's take our Bibles, or if you got your Bible app, you can hold that up. Let's say it together. This is my Bible. The truest thing about me is what God says about me. And he says, I am light and salt in this world. I am a blessed balance of grace and truth. And I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. How about a nugget free of charge? Are you ready? At least for the newer people. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's true. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He wouldn't have given you that ministry if you weren't already reconciled. So come to terms with the fact that Christ was enough. His blood was enough. You are reconciled to God. You may not always act like it, live like it. You may not even always feel like it. But it is the truth. And there's truth that exists beyond what you think, feel, and believe every day. Amen? So live as a reconciled person. Live as light and salt. We're going to continue our series on politically incorrect Jesus. We've got a couple of more Sundays on this. Our hearts, of course, are stirred for our young people. We're going to talk specifically in regard to young people this morning. Maybe have your phones ready. I've got some stats that I'm going to give you and put on the screen that you may want so you can pray into. But our hearts are stirred for our young people. But I tell you what else. Our hearts are stirred to lead change. Everybody say, lead change. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we don't bulldoze change. We don't demand change. Why? Because love doesn't demand its own way. And if we're anything, we're people of the love of God. Amen. So we don't demand change. We lead change. You can never achieve a kingdom end through unkingdom methods. Well, amen. Amen. One hand clap on that. You can never achieve a kingdom end through unkingdom methods. And listen, I know we're in a culture that's full of deception. It really is. It really is. There's a lot of deception in the culture here in the United States of America. A lot of information coming at us, and certainly our young people. But I think a good example is Antifa. A lot of people look at Antifa, and I don't know any of them that I'm aware of. But best I can tell, I think they have a good cause, but they will never achieve a good, righteous end through unrighteous means. You can't throw batteries at people and concrete at people and get your way. That's childish. So what does it say in James chapter 1? The wrath of man will never work the righteousness of God, ever. And so I would say, I mean, just from an outside perspective, you don't know God. If you're doing that and you're trying to say you're trying to bring about change for God in this country, well, you don't know him, or you sure don't know that it's written the wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. So as the body of Christ, though, we're going to lead change. We're going to become the change we want to see. Amen. I am for praying all night. I love Prayer Shield. Every other week we come and we pray and we intercede, and man, it's powerful. But we can't just pray about it. We have to be the answer to our own prayers and lead change. And you're going to hear me say that a bunch today. So we want to lead change. We want to be the change we want to see. Do you remember the book of Jude last week? Amen. I mean, the letter from Jude, powerful. Powerful. One of the things he said in his letter was that we need to contend for the faith. I'm telling you, in this hour, church, we need to contend for truth. But how we do it is very, very important. So in this series, we've been praying and declaring over our children and our grandchildren that they're going to be saved, healed, and delivered. They're going to know the truth. Amen. Their identity is not going to come from feelings. Their identity is going to come from the Word of God. We speak in these things over our children. We talked last week about protecting the moral innocence of our children. We need to stand for truth in this hour so we can protect the moral innocence of third graders who are having things introduced to them that there's no business having that introduced to them. It's harmful. And so we stand for truth. We pray for and protect the moral innocence of our children in this country. That is a worthwhile cause. It is. Again, I loved how the Holy Spirit closed both services last week. We remember how radical we were. We joined hands across the aisles. We were really all together as one man. Yeah. And we prayed. You remember our heart? We bore our heart before Jesus and said, Lord, we want to make a difference. We're in a culture where there's deception everywhere. We've got television and cable and media and social media that pipes all kinds of information at us all the time. There's TVs in most every household. There's phones in most every pocket. This internet thing, you know, is here to stay, I'm quite sure, till something bigger and better comes along. But we stood together, and I love how that ended, that we came together for this cause, that we want to make a difference. We want to make a difference in the world. We want to make a difference in our culture. We want to make a difference in our family, our families, I would even say. We don't want to just talk about it. We want to do it. Let's go back to Jude. Of course, there's one chapter, but it's Jude chapter 1, verse 17. This is the Passion Translation, just a little different take on it, and this is how he ends his letter. Remember, he said, don't let people are perverting the grace of God as a license for sexual immorality. Remember, that's what he said, and he said, I wish I could have wrote to you about all kinds of great stuff, but I'm writing to you about this. So you got to contend for the faith and contend for truth. But he ends it this way. But you, my delightfully loved friends, remember the prophecies of the apostles of our Lord Jesus, the anointed one, the Christ. They taught you in the last days, there's going to be mockers motivated by what? Their own ungodly desires. Ungodly desires. We to borrow a cultural term, we have to be woke. We need to be woke on what's happening. Everybody's getting woke on this and that. We need to be woke to realize there's people trying to steer the country based on their ungodly desires. These people cause divisions. Can I get a witness that America is a little bit divided? The Spirit of God unites man's politics and the desires of the flesh, they divide. These people cause divisions. They're followers of their own natural instincts, devoid of the life of the Spirit. But you, friends, constantly and progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith by praying every moment in the Holy Ghost. Man, what a wonderful time Wednesday night. Gretchen and I had collaborated on this illustration of this vase of spirit, soul, and body and poured water into it. That when you're born, we did this for the students, that when you're born again, the Spirit of Christ enters your spirit. But as you yield, as you surrender, as you mix faith with who he is and what he's done, and you release more of yourself to him, that well of salvation, John 4:14, becomes a river of living water, John 7:38, that begins to overflow and spill out of the vessel. Amen. It was such a powerful time. And what great response from our students. We had a bunch of questions. We're going to continue it again next week and just teach them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and tongues and what it is to pray in the Spirit. Tongues is not the only evidence of the baptism. They need to know that too. How many of you know the church has been a little off over the years about the tongues thing, the infilling of the Holy Spirit? We ought to be walking in the power of love, number one. Amen, somebody. You don't say, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that makes me look down on everybody who's not. I guarantee you that's not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. I guarantee you that's not a fruit of being immersed in the Spirit of Christ. Amen, somebody. So anyway, it's been great to see their response. But the day we're living in, the culture we live in, we need to be praying in the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit knows even better than us what needs to be prayed. Amen. All right, let's go to the rest of the verse. It says in 21, fasten your hearts to the love of God. How many of you think that's a good idea? Receive the mercy of Jesus Christ. That's a good idea. Why? Because you can't give away what you've not received. He gives you eternal life. Verse 22, keep being compassionate to those who have doubts. Snatch others out of the fire to save them. Look at this one. Be merciful over and over to them. But always couple your mercy with the fear of God. Hallelujah. Be extremely careful to keep yourselves free from the pollutions of the flesh. Guys, you want to talk about good, sound doctrine right there. We're talking about, we're going to lead change. He's telling us how to do it. First, he lays out, hey, don't fall for the perversion of the gospel of grace. Don't fall for that as a license to go live in sexual sin. But then he says, all right, we're going to contend for the faith. Here's how we're going to do it. Powerful stuff. It teaches itself. Number one, how are we going to do it? We're going to pray in the Holy Spirit. Number two, fasten our hearts to the love of God. Amen, amen, amen. Looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like that one. Number three, we're going to keep being compassionate to those who have doubts. Amen. I got a baby amen over there. We're going to, number four, snatch others out of the fire. Number five, be merciful over and over again. Come on, church. Amen. Balanced with a healthy fear of the Lord. So balance your mercy. Don't just go around and say, hey, there, it's okay. Everybody's sinning. We're all good. That's not love. Balance it with a healthy fear of the Lord and contending for the truth, and then keep ourselves free from the pollutions of the flesh. And I want to talk about this morning this balance we see. So grace and truth. John chapter 1, Jesus was full of grace and truth. So he's the blessed balance of both. You're never so much like Jesus as when you're a balance of grace and truth. Now think about that. And then Jude gives us, or Judah in the Hebrew, gives us mercy and the fear of God. Again, it's a blessed balance, the same thing. Okay, so we need to lead this change in our culture, and here's why. Oh, there it is. Two researches that were done by the National Study of Youth and Religion at the University of North Carolina up in Chapel Hill, they interviewed over 3,000 teenagers. And here's the summation of the results of their survey about God. And by the way, you want to hear one tragic thing? Many of these young people said, this is the first conversation I've ever had with an adult about the existence of God. Yeah. And that's in North Carolina. Or at least the survey was there. I assume it was done there. So here's what they found. A God exists who created the world and watches over it. But notice it's a God. Number two, there's a God who wants people to be good, nice, and fair to each other like the Bible and other religions teach. Okay? The central goal of life is to be happy and feel good about yourself. Oh my goodness. Wow. Remember that survey they did, Pastor Dwayne Sheriff down at Durant did a survey of young people about why should you get married? What's the purpose of marriage? Number one answer, to be happy. He said, listen, don't get married to be happy. Rent a jet ski. Go to Six Flags. But here's what they said. The central goal of life is to be happy and feel good about yourself. Number four, God does not need to be involved in one's life except to solve a problem. This is really just basically, and I know we're all aghast, but listen, this is cultural Christianity. This is cultural Christianity. And it's rooted in Gnosticism, meaning there is a God, but you really can't know him. Everybody's shooting in the dark. Because they were more concerned, this is absolute truth, they had more passion, they were more passionate about saving the whales and the owls and social justice issues than they were about absolute truth and God. Okay, and yeah, we need to be good to the planet and all those kind of things. But this is cultural Christianity, where I live in America, so yeah, I'm a Christian. Most people say I'm a Christian. They don't know Jesus. They don't adhere to his teachings. And then number five is good people go to heaven when they die. Here's Dean in Sarah. He pastors in Nashville, Tennessee. And he said this, if you live in the South, there's a good chance your biggest mission field is people who've grown up in a culture where you can be a Christian without knowing Jesus or adhering to any of his teachings. Yeah. So there is a cause. Amen. And if you have children and grandchildren, I'm begging you, just sit down with them. And don't just talk at them. Listen to them. Listen to where they're coming from. They do believe, the vast majority believe there is a God, but they just don't feel like you can really know him. And he's certainly not involved in our day-to-day life. But that's where the gospel comes in. God came down to us. We're not trying to reach up to him and figure this all out so we can get to heaven. He came here to us in the person of Jesus Christ, who is God made flesh. Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen. Anyway, how about that? Just an interesting study there. So next slide. You need this one too. Because there is a cause, we must wisely and skillfully run to the darkness and share the kingdom of God. Yes. Amen. Run to it. I didn't say run to the caves with your Vienna sausage and your 12 gauge because the devil's taking over everybody. No, we're running to the darkness. We're like the firemen. You know, we run to the fire. When everybody else is running away, we're running to it. Amen. I love that about Jesus because he was pure light in whom there's no darkness, and he was in a culture where the religious people literally believed darkness was greater than light. So they required lepers to yell out, unclean, unclean, so they could pass by on the other side and the leprosy wouldn't taint their righteousness. I'll tell you the truth. And Jesus, he walks among lepers, and when he heals them, how's he do it? Light is greater than darkness. Everybody say it with me. Light is greater than darkness. So we must wisely and skillfully run to the darkness and share the kingdom of God. Why? Because we're going to lead change. We're not going to demand it. We're not going to bulldoze it. We're going to lead change. Man, hallelujah. And why is it important? You cannot influence or reach who you do not love. That's a powerful statement. You cannot influence or reach who you do not love. So I want to ask you this question. If some of you, if you know Muslims and they know you, do they know you as loving? If they don't, you may be more religious than you think you are. Do you have friends or peers or coworkers who are involved in homosexuality? My question would be, do they know you as loving? You can't reach who you don't love. So, oh man, is it so good? Come on, Holy Ghost. My goodness. So we need the love of God shed abroad in our hearts once again by the Holy Spirit. Every day. That's something else we told the students Wednesday night is, hey, this is not a one-time thing. You see how this water overflows out of the vessel? I wish we all rolled out of bed. Don't you? With your mind renewed, full of the Holy Ghost? Praying in the Spirit when you roll out of bed? No. I wish we woke up and said, good morning, Lord. But instead, half of us say, good Lord, it's morning. And we're stumbling out of bed. Looking for coffee. We need to have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. Because you'll never reach who you don't love. Amen. And Jesus, can I get a witness? He was known as a friend to... They gravitated towards him. But did Jesus use love, his love for people, as an excuse to never tell them the truth? No, he was a perfect balance of grace and truth, but they were drawn to him because he loved. They knew he loved them. They knew he loved them. Come on, give God praise in this house. They knew it. Woo! Holy Ghost. If sinners don't know us to be loving, we may be more religious than we think. And man, I pray that any religious spirit be removed from us as far as the east is from the west. Why? Because as Jude said, we're constantly thankful for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're constant. We know if it weren't for His mercy, we'd be where they are. We can't become so Christian we can't relate to the lost. Remember from where you came. Last time I checked, the grace of God hasn't been applied to a good person yet. Think about it. So here's the key, and you can put this in your notes. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He was so loving to them, but here's the key, without affirming their sin. So this is what Jude is saying. Hey, live in love. Walk in the mercy of God. Have compassion on those who doubt over and over again, but we don't affirm their sin. That was what all that prior text in Jude was about. Man, when you go around affirming people's sin and it's okay and we're going to celebrate it and let's have a parade, don't shake your fist in God's face. Stacy and I were at Caris Bible College yesterday and a gentleman speaking, Pastor Rich Van Winkle from Texas. Some of you may have heard of him, but Rich Van Winkle was sharing at Caris yesterday. What an incredible story. He told the story of a guy at his church named Keith. And Keith, once he got born again, he was a former Mr. Gay America. And he told the story of Keith, and he teared up several times just telling the story. But Keith would tell him stories about when he was at Mardi Gras. And how Christians would be there picketing, yelling things at him, telling him he's going straight to hell, all this kind of stuff. And one time he was on the balcony and Keith looked down while some Christians were yelling at him and all that. And he said, Jesus, when I get saved, please don't let me be like them. And guess what? He got saved. And then he started attending Brother Rich Van Winkle's church, and when he got saved, he was completely delivered of homosexuality. Completely. The desire was gone. Like a spirit, he said, left me, and it was gone. Amen, somebody. But as it would happen, one day, they began noticing that he was getting sick. He seemed weak. So he came in to see Brother Rich. And he sat down, he said, Brother Rich, Pastor Rich, he said, I have AIDS. And he said, if you want me to leave the church, I will. And Brother Rich turned around, went into his bathroom in his office, he got a basin of water and he filled it. And he came out and he washed Keith's feet. And he said, you're not going anywhere. We have to be known for love and compassion and for mercy. Without what? Without affirming their sin. And I've said it a million times. Sin is its own punishment. Keith died a few months later. You're going to see him. Former Mr. Gay America is in heaven, people. I mean, be ready for that. Go ahead, give God praise. Amen. What is that? Well, it's the saving, redemptive love of Christ is what it is. That's what happened to all of us. My flesh didn't act out the way His did. But I needed saved and cleansed and forgiven of the same flesh that was leading Him to do what He was doing as what I was doing. Oh man, I feel the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, God is speaking to the church. God is begging the church in America. You cannot reach who you do not love. And it's going to be His love. Amen. Not some manufactured love. It's a revelation. It comes by the Spirit of God. But if you want it, you can You can have it. I promise you. Let's go back to Colossians 4, 5, and 6. This is Passion Translation. He says, walk in the wisdom of God as you live before the unbelievers. Walk in the wisdom of God. Have wisdom. Make it your duty to make Him known. We want to reveal Christ, the person, a blessed balance of grace and truth. Verse 6, let every word you speak. How many? Every word. Let every word you speak be drenched with grace and tempered with truth and clarity. For then you'll be prepared to give what? A respectful answer to anyone who asks about your faith. I think respect is huge. I think a lot of times the world doesn't see us as respecting them. And we come off condescending and holier than thou, etc. But I love this. Drenched in grace, tempered with truth. How about we carry out the Great Commission via the Great Command? Preach the gospel to every creature. Go make disciples. Great Commission. Great Command. Love God. Love your neighbor. We've been trying to do the Great Commission without love. Grace and truth don't contradict each other. They complement each other. They go together. And I'm going to say it again. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And God perfectly joined grace and truth together in His Son, in Christ. And where's Christ now? He's in you. He's in you. My goodness. We can be a people of God's grace while also being a people who really love truth. Amen right there. We can be a people who love the grace of God, the mercy of God, but who also contend for the faith. A people who actually desire to live morally upright lives. Amen. Can you imagine people empowered by the love of God who want to live in holiness? Not so God will love us more, but that's how much we love Him. Grace made everything possible for us. Truth keeps us in God's boundaries. And that's what Jude was talking about the angels that fell. They got out of the lane that they were created to run in. If you look at church history, and even churches that are crashing today, and there's a bunch of them, there's a lack of understanding of the grace of God. Okay? In other words, they're not gracious people. They're not loving people. They're mean-spirited people, and that's what religion will do to you. If you believe you're performing for God, because if you don't, He's going to smack you down. Then that's how you'll treat other people. So they're bound by works. They don't understand grace. They live by a performance-based Christianity, which says, well, if I do good, God will be good to me. If I don't, He won't. If I do good, God will love me. He'll accept me. If I don't do what He says, then He won't. That is not the gospel. That's not what you got saved under. Amen, somebody. Jesus loves you because of who He is, not because of what you do. And it was His lavished goodness and graciousness to you that caused you to repent. Amen. Amen. So the grace of God is His unmerited and His unconditional love for you. The grace of God is His gift of righteousness. The grace of God is that He'll never leave you or forsake you. The grace of God that He's not going to pour wrath out on you for your sin because He poured it out on His Son. Amen. You got to know it by revelation. How about this? God accepting you right where you are is the grace of God. But the truth of God is He loves you too much to leave you there. He doesn't come to you and introduce Himself to you and you say, Lord, come into my spirit. And He pours that well of salvation into your spirit, man. And then just say, well, I guess that's it. And He's coming after you. He's coming after your habits. Come on. He's coming after your nasty thought life. He loves you too much to leave you where He found you. And then He'll start telling you things like last week prophetically when He said, don't let anybody identify you by where I found you. Because that's who you used to be. This is who you are now. He affirms you. He speaks truth to you. He calls you up higher. Why? Because He loves you. We had so many comments this week on this one statement, but it's a great statement. People who think God doesn't care how we behave or what our actions are don't understand the love of God. because he will always protest every step of your self-destruction. That is love. He will always protest every step of your self-destruction. Yep. So the grace of God is, he loves me where he found me. The truth of God is, he ain't going to leave me there. Amen. It's not that hard. We can do this. We can balance these things. Many churches today, though, I talk about many who don't understand the grace of God and they live by performance and wrath and all that stuff. But there's also many churches today who let the world and in the name of being popular in the culture shape their doctrine and left the truth. They just left the truth at the door. Pastor Oprah, God bless her. How many of you know in the 80s and 90s, I heard it said, a lot of people looked at Oprah as America's pastor. I heard it said. Now, I don't know Oprah, but she seems like a good-hearted person. I mean, she seems like she wants to help. I don't know her, but she started us down this journey as, quote, America's pastor with wrong doctrine because she kept saying all of us are God's children. That's not true. That contradicts a whole lot of scripture. We're not all God's children. It sounds great, but it contradicts the Bible. Boy, it's quiet now. They're like, okay, help me out, Steve. All right, John 1:11. He came to his own didn't receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Born not of flesh, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. They were born of God. And there's the wonderful passage there. We beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So let me say this. Just because everyone is loved by God doesn't mean everyone is right with God. We're just balancing the word. Amen? Everyone is loved by God. Everyone is made by God. Everyone is made in the image of God. That's true. But not everyone is right with God. Not everyone is a child of God. And I get that Jesus is the lifeboat. The Father put on planet Earth. He's the lifeboat. But we have to get in it. We have to receive it. You can't wave at it and say, well, that's good for Johnny. Not good for me because there's not another lifeboat. And that's not Steve talking. Jesus said that. No one comes to the Father but through my lifeboat. Amen. Are we all right? I mean, we're just trying to rightly divide it here. And it sounds good. All of us are God's children. And because it has God in it, everybody clapped in the Oprah audience. They're like, yes, we are all God's children. We should quit being mean to each other. I agree. We should totally quit being mean to each other. But we went way too far over here. We need to have grace and truth. We need to have mercy and compassion coupled with the fear of God. Amen. That's so good. And I want to believe it. I mean, I'd like to believe that we're all just okay and we're all just saved and there's many ways to heaven and all that. And of course, I always get asked, well, what about the little kids in the jungle? They've never even heard the gospel. All right, we'll lay that up with the character of Christ. They're not held accountable for never even hearing the gospel. They don't go straight to hell. Amen. He's just. Is that just? Nobody's even heard of Jesus. Buzz, you're on your way to hell. So I'd like to believe we're all okay, but what if it's not true? What if it's not true? What if what Jesus said is true and that if John 8:24, that if you don't believe I am the Christ, you'll die in your sin? What if what he said is true, not how we feel? Because see, I'm just trying to stand on scripture, not on what I hope to be true. Come on. And I get it. How many of you know it'd be so much easier on us if everybody is okay? If there's you know, everybody's on their way to heaven. We can just go rent a yacht and live in the Bahamas. I mean, right? I mean, Everybody's good. But here's a sobering thought for you. That is heaven. In the absence of light, there's darkness. And darkness is coming in greater measure if we don't lead change. But we can do it because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. Amen? Because we're a blessed balance of grace and truth. And we can come with God loves you right where you are. That is the truth. They can't even change without Him. He's the change agent, right? You get born again by the Holy Spirit, right? So the Holy Spirit is introduced into that spirit man, into that vase, if you will. Can I get a witness? The first name of the Holy Spirit is holy. So you can't demand somebody go live holy and quit sinning without the one who is holy leading the change in them. So you have to tell him he'll love you right where you are. But then the truth is he ain't going to leave you there. And I am a living testimony, brother. Get ready, because he's coming after your thought life. He's coming after your unredeemed emotions. He's coming after your choosing mechanism. Yeah, he's coming after how lousy of a person you think you are. Right? He comes after that. He says, that's pride. You have more pride in your sin than you do in my ability to make you righteous. Came right after me on that. Said, get out of that hole. What are you doing in there? You're assigning more value to your sin than my blood that cleansed you from all sin. And he said two very impactful words to me. Get up. Get up. And I felt loved in that moment. I absolutely felt loved and cheered on. Amen. So I say all that to say we can do it. We have the balance of grace and truth, compassion and the fear of God. Man, I feel the Holy Spirit. Don't we want to just run out of here and charge hell with a water pistol right now? I mean, we could do it. We could do it. So at Grace Church, do we have open hearts for all people? Yes. Do we have open doors for all people? Yes. Are all welcome? Yes. And all need Jesus. Amen. All need Jesus. That's the other part. A lot of the churches, they abandoned the truth and said, everybody is welcome. Come on in. We'll affirm your sin for you. We'll just let you stay right there in it. You don't love them if you let them stay in sin. You don't. You don't love them. You love yourself more than you love them because you won't challenge them on it. You love yourself and your comfortability more than you love them. If the scripture is true, and maybe you say, I don't know about scripture. Well, how about the words of Jesus Christ himself? If he said that if you don't receive him, you'll die in your sin, how can we conceal that from lost people? You don't have the right to impose truth on them, but you don't have the right to reject it for them. Amen. Man, hallelujah. We're having time today. I said this earlier, but I'll put it up there for you. Jesus never compromised or denied the truth in the name of how much he loved people. What a great statement. He was never embarrassed about scripture. He was never embarrassed about truth. Perfect balance. See, and theologically, this is what people are saying when they say we're all okay. Well, or we're all God's children. You don't need to be born again. John 3:3, that contradicts John 3:3. Well, you don't need to call upon the name of the Lord. That's Romans 10:13, Acts 2:21, and Acts 4:12. All say that if you call upon the name of the Lord, if you do it, then you'll be saved. And then they also, it lends itself to you don't need faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, we're saved by grace through faith. Grace is his part. Faith is our part. And so we got to mix faith with what's been made available. The lifeboat's there. Mix faith with it. Don't wave at it. Don't say, well, we don't need that. I'm sure Buddha will be along soon. Or whoever. Sorry. I mean, I didn't mean anything by that. But we don't want to undo scripture in the name of love. As I mentioned last week, the church being influenced by its culture is not new. What is new is no one standing up and saying, that's not right, that's not loving, to leave you there. And God forbid that churches and leadership become so addicted to being popular and so addicted to having people in their pews and having money in their, what's that thing called? Collection plate, yeah. That there's so, do you realize if you're banking on people and their attendance and their money, you're not banking on Jesus. So I'd rather speak the truth, and if we empty the thing, we empty it. I can go to the Caribbean or whatever. I'll do whatever he wants Stacy and I to do. But I can't look to man for provision. I can't. We have to look to God, and as best as we can rightly divide the word, teach what Scripture teaches. That's what we have to do, and then let the chips fall where they may. But I think you guys have sensed it this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is in this. We can do this. We can lead change with a blessed balance of grace and truth, mercy, 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 coupled with a healthy fear of the Lord. A reverence, not a demonic fear, a reverence for God and His truth. Amen? Will you stand with me? Stephen, you guys can come. Gabe. We need to be like Jesus in this world. You know, it's funny. They used to have those WWJD bracelets. You just don't see them anymore. I wonder if it's because they really didn't know what he'd do. You know, like it just kind of faded out. But yeah, and it was outward, not inward for sure. We need to be like Jesus in this world. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. So how are we in this world? We're full of grace and truth. We're full of mercy and compassion. How many times do you read in Scripture where it said Jesus had, he was moved with compassion? And then he'd heal them or he'd speak to them. So we have compassion, but we have a healthy fear of the Lord. We're not religious and mean-spirited. Amen. But it does not make you, hear what I'm saying, it doesn't make you a religious bigot to simply share in love how much God loves someone and then encourage them to receive Him. It doesn't make you a bigot, so don't fall for any of that stuff or hypocritical stuff. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You're here this morning, you've never known Jesus. Maybe you're part of the cultural Christianity movement that says, I'm a Christian, but you don't know Jesus. And you want to know him today. Would you slip your hand up and say, Brother Steve, pray for me. I want to know him in my heart. Anyone? I want the real, authentic Jesus Christ of the Scripture. Not the PC Jesus, the BC Jesus, biblically correct. Well, if you're here this morning and you're like me and you're like Stacy and you want to be the change you want to see, will you lift your hands just so we can pray together right here? My goodness. Holy Spirit is here. Lord, we're asking this morning that the love of God be shed abroad in our hearts fresh and new. That well of salvation would become a river of love flowing out of us. Love mixed with truth. Would you immerse us once again? Because, Lord, we want to lead change in this hour. We do. And would you allow us to become, to have relationship, Lord, with those who are lost? Would you just bring people across our path? Lord, that we could begin to be light and salt to them. And that they would know us as loving. Even as the culture you were in knew you as loving. But you were a friend to sinners. But you never affirmed their sin. So, Father, we receive this grace this morning. This grace. And, Lord, once again, I'm going to pray again that just for a unity in this house around this series and around this revelation that you can use us. Because, Lord, with Westboro and all those things going on and the bashing of Christians and so forth, Lord, our light needs to be so bright in this hour. We cannot back up and back off and be embarrassed to be known as a Christian. We have to be the real deal. And so, Father, I thank you for the grace upon us as a spiritual family to live the balance of grace and truth. And Lord, that we offer mercy again and again and again and again, coupled with truth and a fear of the Lord. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing and how we're going to lead change in this hour. In Jesus' precious name, everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give him our best praise. Thank you, Lord. I know this is true. I know this is the heart of God. If you need prayer or you just want to visit.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.